He watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you want straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka.
Phil Hughes, making me look bad every single time out. Thursday, May 22nd, we're going to talk about Phil Hughes and another dominant outing. Jared Weaver threw a complete game. Encarnacion keeps homering. We'll do some buy or sell. A lot to get to as it's Herc Day. And Herc, I'm sorry I didn't put the Herc love song on the Monday show.
We had outrage all over Twitter. I thought people were going to storm the building.
And hopefully I put it on today's show, and don't forget again. I do that all after we record. Al Melchior is here as well. What's up, Al?
Just stand by your desk and
make sure
until it's done.
Al, you've been issued a challenge that we would like to relay to our listeners.
Okay, and this is very sort of last minute that I brought this up with you, so I don't even have the person's name who asked me for this.
Okay.
Maybe they want to be anonymous anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Who knows? So, but someone on Twitter has asked me to help them come up with a team name inspired by the Miguel Olivo ear biting incident.
Okay.
Biting off part of the ear of Alex Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I am just whiffing.
Alex Guerrero is so obvious. There's got to be something.
It's so obvious
there.
That I didn't even think
there's
of it.
There's got to be something there.
I mean, these are bad. So I'll throw these out there just for the comedy value of how bad these are that I've come up with. All right, because it is the Dodgers organization. I thought maybe Oral A-U-R-A-L Hershiser.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think it's bad. All right. Or if you have Jose Lobaton on your team.
It is bad. You're right, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
If you have Jose Lobaton on your team, it could be Jose Lobe. A tone.
Okay, well.
But it's the wrong ear-biting catcher.
And nobody has him, so that's another bad one.
Earmuffs for Guerrero.
Not bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's the...
You got to get the picture of...
Exactly. You got to do a little photoshopping there. Yeah.
I like that.
That might work. Or, leave Guerrero alone.
That's good.
You think that's good?
I like that one.
All right.
Good job, Al.
All right, so if you could do better than that, and I'm sure you can...
Email us.
Send them in.
Tweet us. All right. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I haven't been doing a lot of emails because I'm saving them for our mailbag show, which is going to be Monday, going to be recorded on Friday, probably be about 25 minutes, I'd say. I think it's going to be Scott and myself doing that one. So, yeah, I don't think Al's going to be on that. And Herc's off tomorrow. So we're recording it tomorrow, airing it on Monday. Send in your mailbag questions. Not grade the trades, preferably. Give us more, like... you know, general topics that everyone can enjoy. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Okay, let's get started with stat of the day number one. Oakland won a game with only one hit for the first time since at least 1914. And they did that on a Brandon Moss homer off a lefty, Eric Bedard. And he started against a lefty, which is good.
I got an
email to first base
a few weeks ago from a guy who was campaigning for me to move Brandon Moss up my rankings. He didn't think I gave him enough credit, and I moved him up that week, and I moved him up yesterday. I think he's now in my top 20 of first basemen. He's putting up numbers. I mean, he's producing. He did it last year, surprisingly. First base is a deep position. I think he was in, like, the top 15, but he's in top 10 to start this year. He's right up near the top, and having a good season.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think in Roto particularly, you guys might all be a little too low on him. 21st for Al, 18th for Herc. Moss was, I think, the number 12 first baseman in rotisserie last year.
Yeah. I mean, now I understand why that guy was campaigning for him. I mean, he's a very good fantasy option that gets overlooked a lot.
Now, of course, we've got Victor Martinez, a bunch of catchers in the mix.
Everyone's getting first base eligibility these days. I think Juan Francisco has it now.
I need to move Moss up in points leagues badly. I'm looking at Roto right now. I'm the low guy there, but not too low. But yeah,
like the Bronson Arroyo of first baseman, in my opinion. Well, he just gets the job done and, you know, overlooked option.
Well, here's the thing though. Last year he had a good year, but this year playing more against lefties, hitting well against lefties. not hitting as well as he is against righties. I can look up the splits. I think good average, not as much power, but, you know, is he, like, I don't know, breaking out? Is he going to be a top, like, eight first baseman?
First base is really...
I know, but why not better than Rizzo? Well, why not better than Hosmer?
Rizzo's hitting lefties. Give Rizzo credit.
Rizzo's hitting like garbage right now. He's doing nothing.
Yeah, but for a while there, he was tearing up lefties too. So, I mean, he's in a breakout mode. You know, I had this conversation with Scott. I was having a tough time moving Prince Fielder down my rankings. I still have him in the top eight. I mean, that's how deep first base is. You know, it's really tough to move these guys. You know, Jose Abreu, you know, when he gets back, is probably going to move up the rankings. It's just... deep position.
Yeah, I'm looking at Moss's stats because I really have been sort of at a loss as how to explain what he's doing so far.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's cut his strikeout rate by about a third this season. This is a guy who's a late bloomer to start with. So to have a late bloom on top of a late bloom.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I can't buy into him getting to that level, being top 10, top 12, even I'd say top 15. If he keeps this up, yeah, he'll do it. But it's so out of character.
Okay, well, yeah, and I don't know how much this changed after last night's home run. That was only his second he hit off a lefty, his 10 on the year. But now he's slugging .643 and hitting .357 against left-handed pitching, as opposed to .288 and .584 average and slugging against right-handed pitching. But 28 at-bats so far against lefties. Okay, stat of the day number two. Adrian Gonzalez homered in three straight games for the third time this season. And stat of the day number three, Edwin Encarnacion, seven home runs in his last six games. First player with four multi-homer games in any month since Troy Tulowitzki did it in 2010. Anything to say about Adrian Gonzalez or Edwin Encarnacion, who, by the way, homered twice off Clay Buchholz and entered the game 1-for-21 against Clay Buchholz?
That improves his stats.
It sure does.
Dramatically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I hate, and I know this is not a comment about any of these players, but that is why I hate it when broadcasters, you know, will make a big deal out of a player versus player split, which is usually based on something like 10 or 20 at-bats.
Well, how about this? John Gibbons benched Encarnacion the first time he faced Clay Buchholz this year.
Mistake. Yeah,
that's just silliness.
It didn't this time.
Yeah, that wasn't silly.
Just two quick things. Finally, Edwin Encarnacion is living up to his draft day potential. It took a while, a slow start. And are you buying Adrian Gonzalez's power? It's coming around now.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me.
Yeah.
It's a tough one for everybody because he looks like he's having possibly a career year.
Yeah.
After 4 or 5 years of being in decline.
And look, I know we've talked about this, but he said that his shoulder was messed up. It's finally back. His swing is back. He's finishing his swing more to get more power. I know I keep throwing out this stat, but 40 combined home runs over the last 2 years. It's pretty bad for a first baseman. Slugged about .460 each of the last 2 years. So I don't get it with Gonzalez. I think partially the numbers are inflated because he's faced the Diamondbacks so many times and he owns the Diamondbacks. I think he has like half his home runs against the Diamondbacks or something.
Poor Diamondbacks.
But now he's doing it at Citi Field. I saw one of the home runs he crushed. I don't know what he did yesterday. I didn't see the one he hit yesterday. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
What I still think is that he's definitely having a rebound season. I mean, it's hardly going on a limb at this point to say that. But I just I can't get behind him being this good for power the rest of the season. And I think last day or two, because this has come up a bunch of times every time Gonzalez homers, 30 home runs, and I've taken the under. And I think one game or even two games with homers shouldn't change that. So I'll continue to take the just under.
I've had him in my top 12 for forever now, and I haven't moved him out of the top
that's
12.
Not, so what, that's bold? He was like the eighth first baseman drafted.
Well, I didn't have him that high going in the season.
Well, there you go.
So I moved him up. But you're saying it's continue. I mean, as a number one first baseman, he's there, you know?
But is he going to be like the number three first? But is he going to be like the number four or number five first baseman? He's going to outperform.
Not if Encarnacion keeps hitting this many home runs.
No, because Encarnacion was better than him. I mean, look, he's going to be better than him.
Pujols is going to be better than him.
Miguel Cabrera is going to be better than him.
Encarnacion's
going to be better than him.
Pujols, I think, is going to be
what
better.
What about Prince Fielder?
That neck injury really is concerning to me right now.
So who would you rather have?
I move Prince Fielder down my rankings finally. But
behind
he's still
Adrian Gonzalez?
Still in front of Gonzalez right now.
That's what I'm asking.
There's still a lot of season left.
So you still take Fielder?
Because at ballpark, if he ever gets healthy and hot, I mean, he's going to put up some big numbers.
How about Hosmer?
No, I don't like Hosmer as much.
I still have Hosmer ahead of Gonzalez in points leagues. Hosmer 11th, Gonzalez 12th.
Okay. I think Anthony Rizzo might have a chance to beat Gonzalez. I do like Anthony Rizzo this season.
I like Rizzo too. Yeah, he's been cold lately.
It wouldn't take much for me to get Gonzalez up to 10th, leapfrogging Hosmer and Mauer in points leagues. But, I can't see moving him ahead of Freeman at this point.
No.
Or Fielder or Abreu.
Right. Stat of the day number 4. Phil Hughes has not issued a walk in 147 consecutive batters. And he's throwing a cut fastball now. And that could be a big reason for his success. I mean, he just wasn't throwing a cut fastball before he's developed this pitch. And last night, 7 scoreless, 7 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts at the Padres. Phil Hughes has a 5-1 record, a 3.15 ERA, 6 walks, 47 strikeouts, and 54 and a third. And over his last 5 starts, Hughes has allowed only 4 earned runs, and here are the opponents. It wasn't just at San Diego. It was Detroit, Baltimore, at Detroit, Boston at home, at San Diego. Okay, Phil Hughes, go.
All right, well, let's first break down those matchups because, yeah, they're, on the whole, pretty good. Your tough matchups, I should say.
Right.
But at Comerica Park is the only one in which he wasn't pitching at an extreme pitcher's park.
Okay.
And I know I've made the arguments many times this year that maybe Petco isn't as extreme as it used to be. But the Padres, on the whole, don't have a lineup to really take advantage of the shorter dimensions in right field. So that's a nice matchup. So I'm still curious to see what Hughes does when he's, in that division, I guess the White Sox are really the only ones you would worry about him going on the road.
Yeah,
But, you know, at the White Sox, you know, at the Yankees, what's going to happen, you know, at Baltimore?
Well, is he an improved pitcher because of the cutter and because he's not
walking? No, he is. I do think he's improved. And just, you know, just the control alone, you know, that crazy streak of no walks. I mean, he's throwing, last time I looked, more than 70% of his pitches for strikes, which is insane.
Yeah, I was with you, Adam. I was like, this can't be. It's just a hot streak. But then this guy sitting next to me, that's why I listened to the ODB, said, no, look at the home ballpark he's pitching in now. It's perfect for him. And he's absolutely right. It is. He gives up a lot of home runs, and he was in a home run ballpark in Yankee Stadium. You take him out of that, Target Field's not a home run ballpark. He gets saved. And his ERA can get out of these jams. And that's what's happening right now. And I wrote last week in Waiver Wire, this week in Waiver Wire, I'm buying into Phil Hughes.
All right, ready? Phil Hughes or Zach Wheeler?
Oh, Phil Hughes.
I'm going to go Wheeler because I have, once he gets things right, I feel like I can trust him more often.
Phil Hughes, or would you drop Alex Wood?
No, I just wouldn't, period.
Yeah, I wouldn't drop Alex Wood.
Would you rather have Hughes or Hutchison?
Hutchison.
Yeah, I'll go Hutchison there too.
Hughes or Skaggs?
I'm going to go Hughes right now. I mean, I like Skaggs, and he's put up some good fantasy weeks, but then he's put up some really bad fantasy weeks where Hughes has been at least more consistent.
I'll agree there. Very close, but I'll take Skaggs.
I just can't do it. I can't Hughes. I cannot do it.
I was going to say, those are your two pitchers you hate the most. You don't like Skaggs, and you don't like
Hughes. No, I do like Skaggs. This is pissing me off. I do like Skaggs.
But this little exercise has made me look like I don't like Phil Hughes. I've got him 79th. I think these are my points rankings.
Yeah.
Yes. Or no, these are my roto rankings. Not that matters a whole lot. I see some guys that I would move him ahead of now. But I can't see getting him in the top 70 yet.
But he gets, you know, he gets.
But that still makes me the high of the three of us with rankings.
Yeah, like, you know, Phil Hughes is almost like Jordan Zimmermann in the sense that he gets hit hard, but he doesn't compound the problem with walks. And now that he's in a good home ballpark.
Okay.
And I did have a hard time with the Hughes-Skaggs comparison. At least in these roto rankings, I do have Hughes ahead of Skaggs a few spots. I may need to adjust Skaggs as well. But I've got him ahead of Nice. I've got him ahead of Pomeranz, by the way.
Wow, so I just can't. I can't get on board that train. He's been such a bad pitcher in his career.
But when he was at a Yankee Stadium, he was fairly good, right?
Oh, last year, but the year before, he was terrible. You know, and he's just he's a guy who can't put hitters away, gets so many foul balls. But the cutter, to me, is more interesting than the ballpark. You know, like, I get the ballpark thing, but he's still
Right, the cutter.
Still, he wasn't like a great pitcher outside Yankee Stadium. No, he was a serviceable one.
Yeah.
Right now, the cutter is making him a great pitcher at the moment. Well, it could be contributing to it. It's a more interesting development to me. Because if you just put him in target field, what, like a 360, 350 ERA or something?
I think a little lower, actually. I mean, low threes.
Oh, well, that's better than serviceable.
Yeah, and that means that in those weeks and other weeks when he, you know, when he goes to Kansas City maybe or goes to Angel Stadium,
yeah,
that he's going to be fine those weeks. But that's why, you know, I picked, I'm trying to think of the example. Zach Wheeler, even though overall his stats are much worse right now, I feel like if Wheeler can get back to where he was a few starts ago with reasonable control, I'm not going to care where Wheeler pitches.
Well, did you look? All right, I'm sorry, Wheeler's FIP is supposed to be one point lower than his actual ERA. So
maybe a little bad luck there, too.
Yeah. All right, let's get moving here. Tweet of the day number one is from Nick Fern. He says, any chance Michael Hurkum can pronounce Kosuke Fukudome on the next podcast, or will that be career-ending?
I got it right before we did the podcast.
You did.
Was shocked.
Except not the first name.
Yes, of course not.
Tweet of the day number two. You remember yesterday we had a tweet of the day, Al, from Jorge Gonzalez, and he said, hey, Michael Bourne stole a base and Anderson Simmons homered on Tuesday. Can you say something bad about Hunter Pence?
I do remember that.
And you did say something bad about Hunter Pence.
Yeah.
You know, for fun. You said he stinks and he had a homer. So Jorge Gonzalez says, your podcast is magic. So I asked Jorge on Twitter to give us another name of a player on his team.
All right.
That we can unjinx. Brian McCann, Al. Please say something bad about Brian McCann.
See, I feel like it's Herc's turn.
Well, Brian McCann is not that bad.
Say something bad about him now, right. So he homers today.
I don't want to say anything bad about him. I'm
Al, can you just step
Brian
up,
McCann.
Please?
Brian McCann is so washed up.
Thank you. It's a sarcastic segment, Herc.
Hey, how come in the notes I don't see anything about
I just wonder if Herc doesn't
Clay
get on
Buckholz.
Board if that jinxes
Clay
it
Clay Buckholz is in the notes, buddy.
All right. I just want to make sure we're going to get to Clay Buckholz today.
Clay Buckholz, I watched a chunk of that game. Everything was smashed. I mean, he was terrible.
Yep.
Dropping him?
Yeah, I'm to the point where, can we just talk about Clay Buckholz now then?
Oh, sure.
All right. So, at post-game quotes, it was so interesting because Buckholz is like, I'm not hurt. You know, everything feels good. My mechanics, my velocity. He says, they were hitting what I was throwing last night. His manager says he has inconsistent command because he sees his mechanics are off. So, his manager sees one thing. Clay Buckholz doesn't. Clay Buckholz had a stretch of like 9 starts in 2012 where he had like a 7.82 ERA, but that's because he wasn't letting go because he had a back injury. Well, he's healthy now. Last night, his go-to pitch is his changeup. He threw 12 of 90 pitches for changeups. He's not using his go-to pitch. He's using cutters and sliders, I believe it was the other pitch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, John Farrell needs to sit him down and do his thing because he's a good pitching coach and, you know, figure out what's going on with one of his pitches, because I'm at the point where, I mean, I think Clay Buckholz is still a good buy low guy because it can't get any worse in my opinion.
Yeah, Farrell said he's not going to lose his spot in the rotation. Right. And I would say that if Buckholz were available in one of my leagues, I would like to be able to stash him.
Yes.
Pitching has become, you know, it's always pretty deep. And with Hutchison out there, maybe Skaggs out there owning about the same amount of leagues as Buckholz, I don't know if you could stash him in shallow formats or whatever, but I kind of would like to. I feel like Herc would agree. Al, how about you?
And I do agree. Yeah, I agree with Herc. maybe a little more optimistic, even just not that it can't get worse, but I think it will get better.
All right, let's look at Wednesday's standouts. Sean Doolittle got another save for Oakland. He's 53% owned, and I saw him get picked up in one of those points leagues where you only start two relievers. One of them could be two of them could be a SPARP. So closers aren't in high demand. And I'm thinking, I should have done that. I should have done that because he could be an absolutely elite closer if he's got the job. What do you guys think?
I agree. And this is just the latest example where I have felt like I have just been a step behind in picking up promising closers at the right time.
Right.
So I feel like that's a thing to really key in on. And it's hard to do because in a situation like this, that's a mess. You know, it's hard to know when to take the plunge on the guy if you have to give up something of value to get him. But
right. Like, would you give up Alex Wood?
And see, I wouldn't do that.
Would you give up Rafael Montero?
Yes, I would.
How about Steve Cishek?
No.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that either.
All right.
Could we, one closer, I do want to tell people about is Chad Qualls. I think people are overlooking him because he pitches for the Astros. But right now, his sinker is working, and he's getting a lot of ground ball outs, and he says, working low in the zone, all keys to success. And people are like, oh, it's the Astros. Closers on bad teams are usually good fantasy options because they're in a lot of tight games. So don't, if you're looking for a cheap ad off waivers, Chad Qualls is a guy you got to take a look at.
Guys, Jared Weaver, he just doesn't throw hard anymore. He's Dan Herring in a way, but even better. Complete game, two hits, one walk, one run, and five Ks against Houston. 19 walks, 50 strikeouts, and 66 and a third. The walk rate actually kind of high, but he's corrected that lately. Weaver is 5-3 with a 2.85 ERA. Do you think he can continue to be this good? And honestly, I'm not even going to say, like, well, he's not going to be this good because he's had a lot of years where he's been this good.
Yeah.
Is he still the same old Jared Weaver? I watch him, and I'm shocked that he's still getting any swings and misses on an 88-mile-per-hour fastball, you know? But he's doing it.
Yeah, I really feel like this is nothing that's much new for him. He had the one season where he's a strikeout pitcher, but other than that, he's been an average strikeout pitcher at best, but is very successful because of everything else that he does.
It's Dan Herring, like, it, whatever you said, Dan Herring inning, is like planking or whatever like that? Or how does that look?
No, what I meant was diminished velocity, still pitching very well.
Okay.
And I get scared of... I'm afraid of pitchers who have diminished velocity on their fastball and have been, I guess Weaver was never like a power pitcher, was he? Or maybe early in his career? But Lincecum and Sabathia come to mind immediately. Guys that just, they have good breaking pitches, so they might get enough strikeouts, but in the end they don't have a good enough fastball. And Weaver, I just remember kind of feeling the same way about Weaver last year and the year before, and he's still been.
You're making the comparison. Good. It's almost like Jamie Moyer in fantasy. I mean, Jamie Moyer was a soft tosser, but did you really want to own him in fantasy? But Jared Weaver,
right?
There were years where Moyer was really good, but I mean, Weaver's been so effective for so long. And just to double check my own memory, I didn't think that Weaver ever really threw hard, and I mean, he didn't really. His earlier years, he was on average throwing about 4 miles an hour. Harder than he does now. So he went from being sort of, you know, borderline on his velocity to throwing pretty soft now.
Yeah, but I mean, he's throwing like, it looks like he's averaging about 86 miles per hour on his fastball. That's, last year it was 86.8, 88 in 2012. So it looks like he's steadily losing velocity. And that's not a concern for you?
Not until I see it in the results.
Okay. Any concern about Irvin Santana? Last three, that's five starts, 5.12 ERA.
No, I mean, to me, this is his MO. He's been everywhere he's gone up hot streaks, cold streaks, hot streak, cold streaks. So it's Irvin Santana.
Chris Tillman's 88% owned. One inning, eight runs, six of them earned yesterday. Is he overowned, Chris Tillman?
Oh, he's very overowned.
Would you drop him for Phil Hughes?
Yeah, I would.
Absolutely.
Would you drop him for Robbie Erlin?
You know what? I would, because I'm just not seeing Tillman being really all that useful right now. And Erlin and Hughes, I trust them in their respective home ballparks. And
that sounds like a law firm, Erlin and Hughes.
Erlin and Hughes.
Tillman to you, Al, is a guy that you could see yourself dropping for like the two-start pitcher that you want next week, right?
Sure.
All right, injuries, news, and notes, part one. We got some buy or sell to get to. We had some big offensive outbreaks yesterday. Talk about that. Mike Trout was out with a hamstring injury. He does expect to play Friday. Matt Lindstrom's going to I kind of got that right yesterday. Dr. Azer, remember what I said?
I don't, Dr. Azer.
He said he felt like he got kicked in the back of the ankle, which is what people say
Achilles.
When they tear their Achilles. He does have ligament damage. It wasn't a torn Achilles, but he's going to be out about 3 months with a torn sheath in his ankle. So I got like an 80% on my med school test.
What are you doing here?
Really? I know you got the diagnosis wrong. I'm not sure you're going to get your license that way.
Yeah, well, 80% doesn't cut it. We know that. Jason Grilley hoping to be activated this weekend. Mark Melancon was good again. Jay Bruce off the DL but did not play yesterday. But that's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah, good for him. Ryan Lubick was out with knee swelling. Joey Votto's on the DL. How about some first base replacements? Let me read you a list of available first basemen. Suckers.
I have a feeling this is not going to be a good list because when I have needed... a replacement first baseman.
I feel Mark Reynolds is going to be on this list.
Yeah.
Mark Reynolds. Okay, would be deeper.
Okay.
I was going to say, he might be one of the better ones.
Shallower leagues, we're looking at guys like Juan Francisco, James Loney, Casey McGee, Justin Smoke, and Nick Swisher.
That is exactly what I'm talking about, and that's the exact same list I saw when I tried to find a replacement for Corey Hart last weekend. I went with Swisher.
To me, that list is Loney and Smoke, I think, and especially in points leagues. They're consistent enough now until Votto gets back that they can help your lineup out.
I do prefer Swisher to both of them, but I agree they're in the top three.
How about Adam Dunn, John Singleton, Garrett Jones, Corey Hart, Colabello, he stinks, he's not playing. Adam Lynn, CJ Crone, Mark Reynolds.
Yeah, maybe, well, gosh, I mean, I'm not sure you can rely on the playing time from Crone, but at this point you might go for an upside type. I just really hate these options.
I also don't think it's going to be a very long injury for Votto. It took them a while to put him on the DL. He might only be out another 10 days or so.
It's like you remind me of just like a little kid there. I don't want to do this. I'm out.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Throwing a first base tantrum.
We are way behind time. Dylan G is going to miss a third start instead of just two that he had hoped to miss. Okay, DeGrom or Montero, who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be Montero.
Same here.
Adam LaRoche is nearing a rehab assignment. And when we say who's it going to be, we mean who's going to stay in the rotation, not come out. Prince Fielder won't play this weekend. Steven Drew could be ready in about 2 weeks. Philadelphia doesn't know how long Cliff Lee will be out. David Buchanan, the likely replacement. Do you think it'll eventually be Miguel Alfredo Gonzalez?
I mean, it all depends on how he progresses on his way back from injury. It could be, but I'm not counting on it.
Chris Sale will start today against the Yankees. Start or sit?
Start in a daily league. I feel bad for all the weekly league owners who got mixed signals there.
Matt Cain and Santiago Casillas sustained hamstring injuries for the Giants last night. Casillas says he's likely headed for the DL. No word yet on Cain, but if he does go on the DL, would you want to pick up Yusmeiro Petit? What kind of league would you want to pick him up?
That's a good question. I'll just leave it for the deeper leagues right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think about, obviously, NL only, I would want Petit. Frankly, I would have wanted him anyway, just as a guy that, you know, when he gets the opportunity to pitch him. I'm thinking about a deeper mixed league because I don't know what the shelf life is for Petit. And I think I first target somebody with more job security. Mm-hmm. But that said, Petit is in for the longer haul. I like him better than most of the pitchers that be available in a 14-15 team mixed league.
Michael Wacha was hit on his pitching elbow by a liner while he was in the dugout, and he may not make his next start. George Springer could be headed to the DL. That stinks. He hit his fourth home run.
Oh, come on. He said it wasn't that bad.
Is that what he said?
Well, he said that.
Yeah, but I...
Dr. Springer.
He hurt his hip. Let's hope for the best.
And I said the post-game tests that they did on him supposedly were surprisingly encouraging.
Okay, good.
But I don't know what that means. I mean, it would seem like a
what
deal.
What happened last night? There's so many injuries.
Yeah. Carlos Gonzalez, day-to-day with finger inflammation.
Yeah, he had the finger injury last year.
Yeah, yep, he did. And he's got the knee thing, too.
He seems like I might be in the minority here. I would try to get him off my team. I still think you could get a lot for Carlos Gonzalez. I would take Adam Jones right now. I would probably take
Prince Fielder.
No, I would. I know you guys are going to yell at me for this. I think I would take Carlos Gomez. I would.
You know what? I'm not going to yell at you. I wouldn't do it. But I have to admit, this development has me thinking.
I just thought that would be a great segment if we had fans come in and yell at Adam Azer. At Azer.
I certainly give him enough reason. All right. Miguel Cabrera was ejected yesterday. So that's, you know. Josh Tomlin was supposed to start today for Cleveland, but he pitched three innings yesterday and he got the win. So if you started him, I guess you could be sort of happy,
right? I did start him in AL only. This is the greatest thing ever. I got a wins in six Ks for Josh Tomlin this week. Who knew?
That's better
is
than
he underowned at 14%?
Nah, that sounds about right.
All right. Ron Renicki doesn't think Gallardo is going on the DL, but he might not make his next start. Anthony Disclafani was sent to AAA by the Marlins. Randy Wolf will take his spot in the rotation. Randy Wolf or Yusmeiro Petit?
Petit.
Who's that, Al?
Al's
that
blowing up right
Petit?
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes,
thanks,
buddy.
Up.
I appreciate it, yes.
Carlos Quentin's been out with a groin injury, reportedly not likely to go on the DL, and I put hashtag yeah right in here. And Seth Smith singled three times yesterday, so he continues to hit well, but I think he has 10 or 11 at-bats against lefties all year, so keep that in mind if you own Seth Smith. Buy or sell Let's do it. Kyle Thompson wants to know, do you buy or sell? Josh Hamilton will continue his great start coming back from the mob breaking his thumbs.
Buy.
Yeah, I will buy that.
Will you really?
He doesn't like him because he's on our podcast league team, but...
The worst team.
Yeah, there's history there.
Well, I was thinking about this morning. It's only a matter of time until Nando makes fun of me for being wrong about Josh Hamilton. But was surprised, very surprised that Hamilton played as well as he did before going on the DL.
I don't know. He had a good offseason. You know, he got into shape. And
yeah,
that's always a good indication, so...
I don't put that much stock into stuff like that. There are so many players who did something great over the offseason, and for some of them it works, and for some of them it doesn't.
True. But when it works, you can connect the dots, as I like to say.
Sure.
I have never heard you say that. You might like to say it, but
yeah, I've never heard you say that either.
I'm always on the show. Go back, listen to the podcast. I always like to connect the dots. So
it's pretty easy game when you were a kid, connect the dots. I don't know why we liked it so much.
Connect Four was fun too.
All right, Josh Hamilton is a
top.
You
ever play the dots, the app, the dots app?
No.
Where you're like making squares with the dots.
Oh, they have an app for that?
Yeah.
Ooh, I got to get on that. Can you compete against your friends?
Friends with dots?
Yeah. I think you can. Not totally sure because I haven't done it.
Yeah. Oh,
listen, if this distracts you from putting the Herc Love song on, don't show them the app, all right?
All right, good point, good point.
All right.
Hamilton's a top what outfielder?
25.
Oh, no, no, no. I think I've got him top 50.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. That's what I'm saying. That's not so
good.
But
now we had to move him down because he's hurt. And when he gets back, we can move
him up. Could
be
back next week.
Yeah, we'll gotta move him up then.
All right. Where am I going to move him up to? Good exercise here. I will move him up into the top, 30.
Okay. Nicholas Locker. Mike Trout strikes out 150 or more times.
Sell.
Yeah, I'm selling that.
Nicholas Heath. Nelson Cruz will hit 35 home runs this year. Buy or sell? Got 14.
I'm going to go ahead and sell that. I think not by much. I mean, we keep counting on the injury from him. Yeah. But if he stays healthy, that's very doable for him. I'll say like 32.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Sell it too.
Ridge, buy or sell, Fernando Rodney keeps the Mariners closer job all year.
Yeah, we'll buy that.
Buy it.
Iron Mike, buy or sell, Adam gets cut off by 3 callers on Fantasy Baseball Today.
What, that they dropped the call, or what do you mean?
I don't know. They usually cut me off. Yesterday they were cutting me off. We couldn't really hear each other.
Yeah, didn't notice that.
I'm going to sell that.
I will too, because it's off my radar.
Yeah.
Entirely.
I'll talk to Francis about that.
Francis is our lovely call operator. Helping out on the show. Nick Polzak. David Wright hits another home run. Buy or sell?
Buy it.
Yeah, I will buy that.
How about,
even the Mets fans buying that.
How about by Wednesday?
That's today, right? Oh, that, next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yesterday's
Thursday. I'll buy that too.
Yes, buy it.
Within the next week, yes.
Okay.
We'll hit a home run.
Scott Andrew. Buy or sell? San Diego is the best buy low fantasy offense.
Best one, I mean, have to do a 30-team scan in my head to really answer that, but I think they're definitely I think there's much better potential there. There's another one. Well, Texas is better.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll give you another one. How about the Yankees? Ellsbury's been dreadful in the last 35 at-bats or so.
Brett Cardinals
McCann's been bad. Soriano's been bad.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I'd say Texas is the best.
Texas is definitely better than the Yankees. And yeah, the Padres is like, I think they're going to hit, right?
No, they should. I expected them. Remember, I picked them as a wild card
team. Yeah.
I figured Headley would have a really good season. I was stupid and thought Quentin would, you know, play a few games. So, I think there's some upside there.
Riley Gula, buy or sell, Encarnacion hits 40 homers.
Sell.
Yeah, that's, like 36, 37. Just miss it.
Matthew Rodriguez.
Oh.
Edwin Encarnacion will hit 2 home runs today.
Sell.
I'll sell that. Break the trend.
HT2, buy or sell Derek Norris as a top 10 catcher at the end of the season.
Oh, I'm selling that big time.
Yep.
Pat Pelton, buy or sell Anthony Rizzo hits 30 home runs and draws 110 walks.
As much as I like Anthony Rizzo, I'm selling that.
What's more likely, the walks or the homers?
I would say the walks, right?
I was thinking the homers.
Right now, Anthony Rizzo has 7 home runs, and 35 walks in 44 games.
I like the walks then.
Okay. All right. Dirty Sanchez. Oh, I shouldn't have said your name.
You stopped. You stopped. Are you going to have to bleep that?
Nah. All right. I'll leave it in there. Leave it to the imagination for everyone else. Dirty Sanch says, Justin Verlander is quickly becoming the new Tim Lincecum. Buy or sell?
Sell.
Sell. Intriguing, though.
Oscar, Puig bats over 300 by the end of the season. Buy or sell?
I'll buy it.
Yep.
He's hitting 333. And the Calusa says, D. Gordon's end of year stats, 260 average and 60 plus steals.
I'm assuming that we're buying the low average, like 260 and under. So I'm selling that.
So you think it'll be over?
Because I think he's going to hit well over 260.
Okay.
I'm thinking at least 280.
What about 60 steals?
Yeah, that's the thing I'm not sure about.
I'll buy that. Sure, with the head start he's got on that, I'm definitely buying the
But 60s. What happens, I mean, now Alex Guerrero could be out 5 weeks, but he was pushing him for a while there. I mean, they were going to leave bat in the minors all season,
Come
were they?
On. D. Gordon is solidified.
Yeah, he would have to really stink it up.
Yeah.
What happens, could they do something? I mean, neither of them could play third base, right, with Juan Uribe on the...
Move Hanley to third, I think would be the
And then
the
put
move
Guerrero,
there.
Yeah. Or Gordon back at short, or...
Yeah, I would think.
Oh,
that's
but Hanley doesn't like playing third, and he's in a contract year, so he makes his own thing.
D. Gordon, I don't want to see D. Gordon move to short because his defense has gotten good enough at second.
Well, I mean, you know, if Guerrero forces the issue, that seems like the most likely path, and I agree. It seems like it would be a difficult one on all sorts of fronts.
Hitting bonanzas yesterday. I want to talk about five teams, I think. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, that went off.
We have like a whole Martinez section here.
Okay, give me one guy per team that needs to be highlighted. Detroit, these are the guys who had big games. Victor Martinez, JD Martinez, Nick Castellanos Martinez, and Ian Kinsler-Tinez.
I like Victor Martinez on this list to be highlighted, just that what he's done lately, I moved him up. Every position he was in the rankings, he got moved up.
All right, Cleveland. Michael Bourne, 3-for-6 with a double and 2 runs.
Still mad.
Yeah. Michael Brantley, 4-for-7 with a double, 2 runs, 3 RBI, and 2 steals. David Murphy homered and drove in 4. He has 3 home runs in his last 5 games. Lonnie Chisenhall homered. He's batting 367, 436, 510. And Carlos Santana went 0-for-5 when they scored like 12 or 13 runs.
Oy. Okay. Well, I guess I guess I'll go Santana here. Since I think Brantley's a legit breakout, and I still think Michael Bourne's not that good for fantasy. And I hold out hope for Carlos Santana, even though he just seems to be getting worse and worse.
Still holding out hope.
Still holding out hope because there has been some power there this year, and I just don't understand why there are so few other base hits.
I don't think David Murphy should be owned in 44% of leagues. I mean, he was really hot at the beginning of the season and then tremendously cold. And he's picked it up now, but do you think that's too much, 44%?
It does sound a little high.
Okay.
Not crazy.
All right, in Miami, Christian Yelich, 3-for-6 with 2 RBI. He's a top 15 outfielder. Derek Dietrich, 2 hits, a double and a triple. Garrett Jones doubled, drove in 2 runs. Marcelo Ozuna hit a grand slam. And Jared Saltalamacchia, hopefully breaking out of a very, very cold slump here, drove in 2.
You know what, the thing with Christian Yelich is I keep moving him up my rankings. What?
You've been doing pretty well. Don't worry about it. It's Yelich.
Yelich.
I would say that was just like an accent or something.
Yeah, it could have been.
I don't know what kind of accent, but.
Yeah, New England. But my thing with him is that, you know, people overlook him because he's not hitting home runs. But you don't have to hit home runs to be a successful fantasy option. And I like this kid right now. I think he's going to finish in the top 30 by the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm shocked he's a top 15 guy. A
lot of runs.
Yes.
A lot of runs.
Marlins second in the NL in runs scored.
Wow.
That's I don't get
wasn't
it.
Yelich is only hitting 260-ish right now.
Yeah, no, he's actually been kind of cold aside from the power.
I mean, wasn't like Hanley Ramirez. I know Hanley had more power when he came up, but the same thing, a guy that can produce at the top of the lineup and be a good fantasy option.
But even early on, Hanley projected to be early on, I think, much more of a power hitter.
Yeah, but I'm not saying power. I'm just saying, though, this kid was – Yelich was really good. And the minors came up with a great pedigree. I think people are overlooking the fact that, you know, he's still young. He hasn't got a ton of major league experience, but he's producing.
All right, let me throw out these numbers here. Last year, the number 33 outfielder in fantasy in both formats had this line. 273, 8 home runs, 52 RBI, 81 runs, 24 steals in 32 attempts.
Interesting, because, yeah, that could very easily be Yelich's year on line.
Yeah, and that's Brett Gardner, who consistently, I mean, everybody owns him in Roto and starts him most likely. Yeah. But Brett Gardner is in our notes today because I think he's, you know, 85% owned, 76% started. He's hot right now. I think he's a little underrated in points leagues. He usually finishes around 30th or so at the outfield rankings if he's healthy. And he's usually like a 270 hitter, despite all his speed. He's a very disappointing hitter in terms of batting average. Not that 270 is terrible. But I think Yelich could be that kind of guy. Like a little bit of power, more than Gardner.
Yeah.
Less steals, but some steal, but enough steals to be relevant. Score some runs.
I think it's a great comparison. I do think Yelich long term probably has more power upside.
Yeah. Well, than Gardner?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He's going to hit more home runs.
Yeah.
But he's going to steal less bases, I think.
I'd probably take the under comparing the two, but there's some stolen base potential there too.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But Gardner has two seasons with 47 steals or more.
Yeah.
Yelich isn't that guy, is he?
I don't think so. I mean, 40 honestly wouldn't shock me.
Okay.
I'm not expecting it.
All right.
But, if you ran enough, I think you could do it.
And in Baltimore, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, we'll combine them here. Markakis, now we'll separate them. Al, you get Baltimore. Markakis, two hits, an RBI, and a steal. Chris Davis doubled, drove in a run. Nelson Cruz hit his 14th homer among his three hits. J.J. Hardy doubled and drove in a run.
Yeah, I'll focus on Hardy here because even though no home run power, I am encouraged by the doubles. It's not like he's just become a complete non-entity. So Scott said it, I think, yesterday. There's going to be some month where Hardy just goes off and gets eight homers or something.
And Herc in Pittsburgh, the other team, Josh Harrison led off, walked twice, scored twice. They keep shuffling those outfielders there. Andrew McCutchen went 3-for-5 with two doubles. Alvarez, Marte, and Ike Davis had multi-hit games and at least an RBI apiece.
Pedro Alvarez is not off to a great start this season, but I'm finally starting to come around and see Scott White's point about how bad third base is this season, where he's off to a modest start and he's a top 10 points guy. And that's bad because he usually strikes out a ton, which kills his value in points leagues. Third base is just awful. And I don't know if it's going to – I'm not sure it's going to get better. Hopefully guys like Xander Bogaerts, who has third base eligibility – you know, now he's starting to come around and start to hit. So
Bogaerts is interesting, actually. I wanted to talk more about him. I think we're going to talk about Bogaerts on the video show. But he went 3-for-4. He doubled twice. I just don't know that he's going to have roto value because his two strengths right now seem to be walks and doubles. And unless he starts hitting some home runs or stealing bases, which he has done once, where's the value in Roto? And the thing is with Bogaerts, like, obviously he's young, he's big, he looks like he's got power. I see like it's coming. I would never even consider dropping him. But I can't start him right now in a Roto league. What do you guys think?
I do agree with that, but I think he's intriguing because it would take like a mid-season breakout for him to become more Roto relevant. But given what he's doing as a 21-year-old so far, I think it's pretty impressive, and maybe it will take him a little time to figure it out, but I feel like the home run power is there. I feel like the batting average upside is still there to be exploited. So I think there's hope for his Roto value somewhere the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's heating up. He's up to a 283 batting average, but only the number 19 shortstop in points leagues. I don't want to oversell what he's been doing. Lately, it's been better.
Right. No, it's just impressive that he's done that again as a 21-year-old with very little experience.
Yeah, honestly, Bogaerts, Springer, he's coming around a bit, I know. They're making me think that people might be just expecting a little bit too much from Polanco and Taveras when they come up. I think you got to be patient with these guys, but maybe expect slow starts.
Well, no, I agree because Polanco doesn't have overwhelming power. He's got speed and should hit for average. And then there was the report yesterday about Taveras.
He needs to like get it together or whatever.
Yeah, he needs some scouts said he needs a wake up call, and we get he's coasting in AAA and could struggle when he hits the majors.
Last team's millage 2.0.
Yeah, but I'm not saying don't own them. Just be patient, maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Fringy starting pitchers. Drew Hutchison, how good is this guy?
Awesome.
68% own.
I said he finds out he's working on his changeup, and if that becomes his go-to pitch, he's going to be dangerous.
One thing to keep in mind with Hutchison, he's only made 3 home starts, but his ERA at home is 7.24, and on the road it's like low twos.
That is why I do have a little bit of reservation about Hutchison. It's not, you know, just because of a 3-game sample, but just, you know, the difficulty of pitching in Toronto unless you're a big-time ground ball pitcher, yeah.
Colin McHugh, 7 innings, 7 strikeouts. You know, he's relevant maybe.
You know, it's funny because I feel like Scott and I have sort of, you know, crossed paths here on McHugh because I didn't buy into him at all initially. Scott was much more optimistic, and now Scott, you know, feels like maybe McHugh's chances sort of passed him by. I'm getting more intrigued now because he had the one, I think it was the second start against Seattle where he wasn't so great, but he continues to get batters to swing and miss. I think Hutchison, you know, he could be giving up too many extra base hits at times, but I don't know. I think the strikeout potential is real there.
All right, so how would you rank these 5 guys? Hutchison, McHugh, Buchholz, Roark, who had another good start with only 2 strikeouts, and Brandon McCarthy. Hutchison, McHugh, Buchholz, Roark, Brandon McCarthy.
Like, well, rank them or guys we want to own?
Top 3.
Guys we want to own?
Yeah.
Hutchison, Buchholz, and Roark.
Yeah, my top 3 in the same order. So after waxing rhapsodic about it, McHugh, I actually like him the least out of the 5.
4 up, we talked about Brett Gardner. We talked about Xander Bogaerts. How about Yasiel Puig? You know, we just did that draft, Al, on Fantasy Baseball Today where we did our first 2 rounds. I don't think any of us had Puig in there, and I think
didn't.
That's an oversight.
And, yeah, given that I had him close to that at the beginning of the season, yeah, that feels a little silly now.
Like, he's legit, right?
He is legit.
He's a great player. Carlos Gonzalez or Yasiel Puig?
Cargo.
Still Cargo.
Okay, I'll take Puig.
All right.
Just because, you know, same old reason. Just worried about the injury.
What about Puig injuries?
I have Puig in enough leagues. It seems like if you have Cargo, it seems like that's a trade we
could
make.
What about a Puig injury?
Yeah,
in any leagues. I mean, look.
He plays the same intensity
Puig
as Bryce Harper.
Puig doesn't have knee tendonitis and a bad finger.
Yeah.
And a history of getting hurt almost every year.
But he plays at such a high intensity, it's almost like Bryce Harper.
He
opens himself
He's
to, you
a
know.
Machine. Have you seen him? He looks like the Terminator. He's not going to get hurt. He's going to run through an outfield wall before he gets hurt.
And I just want to go off a little tangent here. So in this week's prospects column, I write about another Cuban outfielder who's tearing up the minors. His name's Daryl Alvarez. He didn't come in with the same fanfare as like a Cespedes, Abreu, or Puig, but he's putting up some monster numbers. And, you know, last year he got the double A, and they worried about his uppercut swing and his patience. But his coach said, look, he was excited to be here. He was some bad habits. He's fixed all those bad habits. I mean, here's another Cuban outfielder that we may need to keep our eyes on in the minors.
Okay. Billy Butler, 9 for his last 19, 70% owned. Still not homering. Got a couple of doubles in those games. Would you rather have Butler or Kendrys Morales?
Kendrys.
Butler.
Butler or Juan Francisco?
Butler.
Butler or Oscar Tavares, utility?
Hmm. Yeah, Tavares isn't going to do much for me right now in utility slot. But assuming Tavares is up, yeah, I went Tavares.
Tavares.
2 down. Miguel Montero has been struggling. 4 for his last 25. He's still...
Can I just point something out about Butler, too? Mm-hmm. Just play the White Sox, the Chris Salas White Sox. That rotation's pretty...
Yeah, pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Miguel Montero, still the number 4 catcher in points, number 8 in Roto, but... 246, 348, 368 in May. 368, not very good. Montero or Wilson Ramos?
Montero.
Yes, Montero.
I'm very surprised to hear you guys say that.
Yeah, no, I bought in.
Okay.
He was a very good fantasy catcher 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, so I'm not going to change course on 25 bats.
Montero or Willen Rosario?
Oh, Rosario.
Yeah, still like Rosario despite a slow start.
How about Montero or Mesoraco?
Montero for the fact that Mesoraco is going to have a huge cold streak.
Did I say Montero?
You did.
Yeah, because it was Rosario.
That's hey. His Canadian cousin.
He's got Herc-itis.
And
it's infectious when you get on this podcast.
We don't have time to talk about Brandon Phillips, so I'm skipping him. Kyle Loesch, is he more like the number 15 starter in fantasy that he was in 2012? He's actually number 8 in points, number 14 in Roto, or the number 41 starter like he was in 2013?
Number 41.
I agree.
Still, he's a must start, isn't he?
I can't get behind that.
Come on, Al.
I'm sorry.
He's a good pitcher.
He is a good pitcher. He is a good pitcher, and yet there's that guy. There's a lot of guys who are good pitchers. John Lackey is a very good pitcher. I would sit both against a really good two-start option.
All right.
In certain weeks. So it's not necessarily knock to say a guy's not a must-start.
All right, Nate Eovaldi, guys. Last three starts, 1-1, 5.28 ERA, 26 hits and 15 and a third, 7 walks, 7 strikeouts. Now, 6 earned runs came in one start at San Francisco, but any concerns about Eovaldi here?
I have to admit, yeah, because this line, it was a quality start, but it could have been a whole lot worse, pitched out of jams, threw a lot of pitches. So, another not very good start for Eovaldi.
Droppable or stash him? Like if Hutchison or Phil Hughes or Skaggs or whatever.
I'd say stash at worst. So I'm concerned, but next week I could see starting him one more time just to see if he can turn it around.
Max Scherzer, 7 innings, 12 hits, 7 runs. Any concerns?
No, actually, as bad as that line is, I thought it was pretty cool that he composed himself to finish 7 innings. And really, there was only one really bad inning.
Right. And Alfredo Simon, 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, 1 run. Why do I keep saying the walks before the runs? 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts at the Nationals. And he has got a 2.31 ERA. And he's a 2-star pitcher next week. I mean, I know everybody's worried about the Latos thing, but he's been good enough to be owned in more than 78% of leagues.
Well, let's start with the Latos thing, because who Leak would be the other obvious one, right?
Yeah.
He's been really pretty good.
And Simon's got bullpen experience.
Yeah.
Simon, though, has 2 road starts next week. Is he going to make both those starts, or is Latos possibly coming back?
I think Latos could come back.
If Simon has 2 road starts next week, he's 5-0 with a 1.05 ERA on the road.
Which makes sense. I mean, he pitches at a brutal ballpark. So,
yeah,
he'd be a plausible start with 2 starts next week.
In deep leagues, do you like any of these guys to put on your roster? Wilmer Flores, been playing a little bit for the Mets, now eligible at 3rd and short. Jacob DeGrom, Jeremy Guthrie, Chris Young, Nick Teppish, James Jones, Eric Bedard, Tommy Malone.
James Jones is the most intriguing to me. He solidified that leadoff spot for the time being. For the Mariners, he doesn't have a lot of power, but he has good speed. I mean, he could be a sleeper for stolen bases, and, you know, he gets on base runs. Maybe in rotisserie, you take a look at James Jones.
He looks like he has the potential to be kind of Brantley-ish. I mean, you know, Brantley's had the power breakout, but sort of Brantley 1.0 for points leagues.
Yeah, previous seasons, Brantley.
Yeah.
How about Wilmer Flores, Herc? You think he could become the Mets' starting shortstop?
Nah, I mean, I saw a report that the Mets are scouting Didi Gregorius. I got it right?
Yeah, all
right.
Nice.
Of the Diamondbacks.
It's actually Didi. It's P. Didi Gregorius.
So. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, Gregorius is a huge upgrade defensively, and I would like to see him. They do trade for him. I just don't think they think Wilmer Flores is athletic enough to play shortstop.
And in the bullpen, Trevor Rosenthal threw a scoreless 9th in a tie game. Jason Mott threw a scoreless inning in 2/3. Grant Balfour walked 2 in a scoreless inning. I believe he has more walks than strikeouts. It was a non-save situation. Any worries that he's going to lose his job?
Maybe not as much as I should have.
We talked about this. They just don't seem to have, unless they put Jake McGee there. He's not an obvious guy.
Yeah, and I think McGee could be fine. I think it's just more the issue of just, again, that the Rays went out and spent money to get Balfour, and he has some success in the past, even with wildness.
Yeah, he's mostly gotten the job done. It's not like he's blowing a bunch of saves. Just the peripherals ain't so great. Hector Rondon blew a save. Didn't exactly get hit hard. In fact, the tying run scored on an error, and he had been really good over his previous 5 outings. Any concerns about Rondon for the Cubs?
Not yet.
Nope.
And Joe Nathan blew a save. Any concerns about Joe Nathan?
Nope.
No.
Kind of a wacky day yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Injuries, news, and notes, part 2. Yeah. Finish it off here. Jason Hamill, deep bone bruise in his hand, says he'll make his next start. Juan Uribe is on the DL.
Here's a good name for you.
I actually don't know how to pronounce it. Eris Bell Arabuena would be my guess.
That's pretty good. I like
took his roster spot, but Justin Turner appears
although
to be
in the spelling, I think he left out an E. I think the, there's another E after the U, the first U, I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. Justin Turner started at third. Darren Ruff was activated by the Phillies. Does he matter?
No. Hey, Dominic Brown hit a home run yesterday. That
Dominic
was nice
Brown
to
did
see.
Home
well,
run.
That's kind of an interesting connecting of the dots there, Herc, yeah. Because you know Brown continues to struggle.
Two home runs in four games, Al.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, but, yeah, I hope, obviously.
But
hope
he's not out of a slump.
Yeah.
If he continues to struggle.
Yeah, maybe that opens the door for Ruff.
I think Ruff, I mean, is it crazy to think he gets some at-bats against lefties for either Brown or Howard?
I don't think it's crazy at all.
Mike Napoli was out with flu-like symptoms. I think possibly the flu, even. Shane Victorino was moved down in the order.
Wait,
homered.
He's on this, like, he's got the Matt Lindstrom injury right now. He wants to, you know, guess at all the illnesses.
Well, I just think, you know, flu-like symptoms is very funny. It's like, you mean the flu? Shane Victorino was moved down in the order. He homered, and he's been really bad against righties, and he hasn't been switch hitting this year. So he might go back to switch hitting. I don't think he was switch hitting yesterday when he homered it off the righty. Evan Gattis was out again with an illness. Leonis Martin didn't start due to a stiff neck. You guys tell him I'm losing my voice. Robinson Cano homered his second of the year.
Do you want me to finish up for you?
Alex Cobb's going to be back today. And yeah, Herc, read the last note.
All right.
Last
Jeremy
two.
Hellickson hopes to return before the All-Star break. Dominic Brown homered, second home run in four games.
I've heard that. Yeah.
And Ben Revere, pinch hit yesterday. He has been out with an illness.
There you go. That's Michael Hercombe, ladies and gentlemen. And we are done for the day. We're back tomorrow. I know we're going to get to emails on that mailbag show. So thank you all. Keep writing in. Please put mailbag in the subject line if you want it read on the Monday show that we're recording Friday. Talk to you on Friday with Scott White. Now, Melky, we're to preview week 9. See ya.
When you won't straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince Amuka, Maka, 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 Maka.
Pickler. Pickler.